So the countdown is over officially, and we have finally arrived at another stage in God's plan, his annual rehearsal of the plan for mankind. So the title of today's message is Pentecost, a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. Brethren, the day of Pentecost, which is also known as the Feast of the First Fruits, is a powerful reminder that Jesus Christ came to build his church, his spiritual temple, built upon the foundation that was laid by the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Spiritually, this day pictures the harvest of the first fruits of God's people, those called out of the world in this age to be a part of his first resurrection, fitted together like stones in a spiritual temple, cut out of the world and shaped into the body of Christ. Pentecost is recognized as the beginning of the church of God, because it was the day of Pentecost that the followers of Jesus Christ were transformed from a timid, confused group of disciples into a bold, spirit-filled apostles and witnesses to the truth. It is this transformation of the heart and the mind that I want us to focus in on today as we observe this holy day. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 for the opening scripture and the focus of today's message. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This letter to Timothy here, Paul opens up with this letter to his beloved student Timothy, and he reminds him of the characteristics that come from this gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to him. The same Spirit that was given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It is the same Spirit that's given to us here today as members of the body of Christ. It is a Spirit that fills us with a living hope, a strength, and a courage, and it empowers us to do the ongoing work of God now and straight into the future. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul reminds us by saying, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." What an encouraging statement to Timothy, and a powerful reminder to each of us of the incredible gift that we've been given through God's Spirit. Though this verse wasn't written specifically about Pentecost, it captures the essence of what happened on that day, how the apostles were able to stand up boldly and proclaim the good news to the world. It describes the kind of Spirit that was poured out, and more importantly, it tells us what the Spirit means for each and every one of us today. So let's break down this verse and let's see how it applies to us directly. The first part of the verse addresses what God has not given us. He has not given us a spirit of fear. And so why is this important? It is because fear has always been one of the greatest hindrances to faithful living. Fear causes us to shrink back when we're called to step forward. Fear leads to silence when we're called to speak out. Fear blinds us from seeing God's promises, just as it did to the Israelites in the wilderness. And fear is exactly what the disciples were living before the day of Pentecost. After the crucifixion and even after the resurrection, they were still behind closed doors, uncertain and hesitant and afraid. They had seen the risen Lord, but didn't grasp the full picture. They were instructed to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, but they had no idea what that looked like. Brethren, it's one thing to have the knowledge. It's another thing to have the power to act. And that is what the Spirit provided. And so Paul reminds Timothy, and he reminds us today, fear is not from God. God doesn't call us and then paralyze us with fear. He doesn't commission us and then leave us trembling. Instead, he empowers us. And so Paul reminds us that we are not given a spirit of fear, but of power. This is the first gift, a spirit of power. What an amazing statement, which aligns perfectly with the command that was given by Christ to the apostles. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Just before or after Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking and teaching them. And just before he ascended to the Father, he said to them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, But you shall receive the power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is exactly what happened at Pentecost. The same disciples who had been hiding in fear were filled with the Holy Spirit and began preaching boldly. Peter, who had once denied Jesus three times out of fear, stood up and proclaimed the gospel to a crowd of thousands. This message was considered his first sermon, and it resulted in the conviction and repentance and baptism of 3,000 souls that were added to the church on that day. This was not just human boldness or courage. This was the power of the Holy Spirit. And so then, brethren, when Paul says that God has given us a spirit of power, he's talking about a supernatural empowerment. The Greek word that's used here is dunamis, which is Strong's word G1411, from which we get the word dynamite. The word means explosive or transformative power. This is what the apostles were filled with in that upper room. A divine empowerment that gave them and gives us the ability to do what we could never do on our own, to stand up in the face of fear. On that day of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit manifested through signs and wonders, but more importantly, through transformed lives. But it wasn't just the apostles that received that Spirit. The Spirit was poured out on all flesh, just as was prophesied by Joel in chapter 2 and verse 28. You can write that one down for your notes, Joel 2:28. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Brethren, it is the same power of the Holy Spirit that convicted us, that led us to repentance and baptism, and now gives us the strength to stand firm through our personal trials and, for the sake of truth, stand up in this dark world. And when we walk in the Spirit, we don't have to live in fear. We can serve boldly. We can pray boldly. We can witness and stand boldly because we've been given the same Spirit that they had. A spirit of love for the truth, love for God, and love for each other. So the second gift mentioned by Paul is the gift of love. But why love? It is because love is the highest expression of God's character. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Please turn with me there to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Brethren, it is this spirit of love that leads us to love God and to love our neighbor. And as God's Spirit works in us, our hearts are settled and we learn to trust in his mercy, in his power, and his love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." The Spirit of God doesn't just make us powerful. It makes us loving. On Pentecost, the love of God was poured out into the hearts of all believers that were there to witness. That love transcended barriers of language, of culture, of ethnicity, and of backgrounds. Jews from every nation under heaven were in Jerusalem, and each heard the gospel in their own tongue. The Spirit spoke to every heart in a personal way, just like God does here within this church today. But it wasn't just about the words that were spoken on that day. It wasn't just about good communication. It was about communion, a deep Spirit-led connection with God and with each other. Brother, we know that God is building a family, and it's God's Spirit that binds this family together in unity. It is love that binds us together, this church. And it is the love that is in the ultimate witness to the world of Christ in our lives. Jesus Christ himself reminds us of this in John chapter 13 and verse 35. Write that one down for your notes as well. John 13, 35. It says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is important because power without love can be destructive. But power with love is redemptive. It's through love that we serve and forgive. It's through love that we endure suffering and rejection and persecution. The Spirit we've been given does not lead us to pride or arrogance or self-promotion. It leads us to a sacrificial love, a way of give rather than get. The kind of love that compelled the early Christians to sell all their possessions and to give to those in need, to break bread daily and to open their homes and hearts to one another. This is the love of Pentecost. It wasn't just a feeling, but a spirit-enabled devotion to God and to each other, grounded in faith and marked by a sound mind. Finally, Paul reminds us of that final gift, which is the sound mind. In other translations, the word used is self-control or self-discipline, and it implies a balanced, disciplined, sober mind. And so why is this important? Because the Holy Spirit does not only excite us with power and love, it grounds us. The Holy Spirit is not just an emotional experience. It's about a transformation of thought, purpose, and character. On Pentecost, as the Spirit was poured out, the apostles were accused of being full of wine, drunk. And Peter stood up and explained soberly and clearly as he quoted Scripture. He walked the people through the recent events surrounding the death of Christ, explaining to them how they fulfilled the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Peter's message had order. It was filled with truth and clarity of thought. This was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit as he spoke with a renewed mind, with a purpose and focus. In Romans 12:2, you could write this one down. Paul tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This transformation and renewal comes from the Holy Spirit. That is, if it's nurtured properly through prayer and study and meditation. God's Spirit does not make us irrational and unstable. It's quite the opposite. It makes us wise and discerning and self-controlled. It gives us mental clarity and spiritual insight. It helps us walk in the truth, avoiding deception and living according to God's will. In a world full of anxiety and confusion and emotional extremes, the Spirit gives us peace of mind. Not because everything around us is calm, but because the Spirit within us is anchored in God. It is God through His Spirit that directs our paths in this world of darkness and confusion. And so then, brethren, what does this mean for us? Pentecost isn't just a historical event to commemorate the beginning of the church. The same Spirit that descended upon the early church is still available to us today. These gifts Paul speaks of, power, love, and a sound mind, are not abstract virtues. They are spiritual tools that are given to those who respond to his calling. And so then, brethren, let us return to the context of this letter, that 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, this letter that Paul was writing. He was writing this letter to the young man who we know as Timothy, who was struggling with apprehension. He was apparently dealing with fear and concern and anxiety. And so in the previous verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to him, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." This is our call on Pentecost. We are called to stir up the gift that was given to us. And remember that we are not alone. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let us be bold and walk in the Spirit. Let us observe the day of Pentecost, not just with remembrance, but with the renewing of our hearts and minds. And let us declare his name and purpose with confidence. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power and love and a sound mind.